Hey there, my name is Ivo, founder at endinsomnia.com. Welcome to the former Insomniac podcast. After suffering from insomnia for 5 brutal years and after trying everything to fix it, I developed a new approach targeting the root cause of insomnia, which is actually sleep anxiety or the fear of sleeplessness. In this podcast, I talk about the End Insomnia system, where I share tips, learnings, and insights from overcoming insomnia and tell the stories of people who do, so you can apply the principles to end insomnia for good too. If you want to get a 30-day free email masterclass on how to reduce sleep anxiety that people usually paid $200 for, and also receive this podcast as a newsletter every Saturday, go to endinsomnia.com. I recently watched Matthew Walker, presumably the face of sleep worldwide, on Andrew Huberman's latest podcast episode. He was talking about how he treats his clients with CBTI, which got me thinking. Did Matthew ever have hardcore chronic insomnia? I doubt it. Breaking down CBTI, sleep education. First, CBTI uses education to correct common misconceptions about sleep and provide an accurate understanding of how sleep works. Sleep education is a good thing. When you can't sleep and don't understand what's happening, it's easy to jump to false conclusions that can make the situation more alarming. Sleep education helps address this issue. Many CBTI practitioners recommend following sleep hygiene guidelines to help patients achieve better sleep as part of the education process. Sleep hygiene lists often include things like making your sleep environment cool, dark, quiet, and comfortable, avoiding blue light in the evening, avoiding caffeine, alcohol, and big meals too close to bedtime, following a specific pre-bedtime routine to prepare to sleep, getting exercise during the day so you're more tired at bedtime, getting morning light to help set your circadian rhythm. While following sleep hygiene guidelines can help set the stage for better sleep, anxious people with insomnia often get their hands on a sleep hygiene list and militantly apply everything rigidly. Then they still can't sleep and feel more confused and more anxious. Following a sleep hygiene checklist does not magically make you sleep and will not address your anxiety. If someone with insomnia gets too attached to sleep hygiene working for them, it will only add to their stress. This caveat is missing from CBTI protocols. What's different about the End Insomnia System's approach to sleep education? As with CBTI, proper knowledge about how sleep works is a core part of the End Insomnia System. However, the End Insomnia System places special emphasis on teaching how anxiety drives insomnia, and we offer unique and innovative tools to address that anxiety that are not part of CBTI. Regarding sleep hygiene, we take a non-rigid approach. Following sleep hygiene guidelines is generally a good idea because it can help set the stage for sleep. For example, having good enough bedroom conditions is advisable, and you will probably have trouble sleeping if you drink coffee in the evening. However, we also make it clear that the real work is reducing sleep anxiety, not following a checklist of rules. We also emphasize that following sleep hygiene guidelines can become an unhelpful sleep effort if you're not careful. For example, it's not helpful for someone with insomnia to believe they have no chance of sleeping unless they run 5 miles every day, or their sleep will be ruined if they don't immediately go outside when they first wake up and get some natural light. Using the End Insomnia System, you will eventually get to the point where you can follow some common sense sleep hygiene guidelines, but you won't overthink them. You can attain the casual relationship to sleep that a normal sleeper has, where you're not analyzing everything you do for the possible impacts it could have on your sleep that night. Breaking down CBTI, behavioral interventions. The primary change mechanism in CBTI is the two intense behavior rules. The primary change mechanism inside CBTI is two intense behavioral rules, sleep restriction and stimulus control. Both are meant to retrain the body to sleep. Let's break them down. Sleep restriction. With sleep restriction, you limit your time in bed each night to the amount you're currently sleeping on average. This might mean giving yourself only 5 or 6 hour opportunity to sleep each night, which can feel very extreme if you need closer to 7 or 8 hours of sleep to feel restored. This restricted sleep schedule is kept up for multiple weeks. For some, restricting their time in bed in this way often leads to additional anxiety that makes it even harder to sleep because there is extra pressure to sleep now when you have such limited time in bed. Stimulus control. Stimulus control involves attempting to reassociate being in bed to sleeping quickly instead of lying there awake. The idea is that the more you experience getting into bed and falling asleep quickly, the more your mind will be reconditioned to expect this to happen, and it will happen more and more frequently. First, to implement stimulus control, you avoid being in your bed and ideally even your bedroom for anything but sleep or sex. Second, you are instructed to get out of bed if you don't fall asleep within 20 or 30 minutes. When you get out of bed, you're instructed to do something relaxing until you're feeling sleepy again, then return to bed and see if sleep happens. If you don't fall asleep within 20, 30 minutes again, you need to leave your bed again. Where sleep restriction and stimulus control go wrong? In principle, the idea behind sleep restriction and stimulus control makes sense. However, some people who try to implement these techniques find that they end up increasing their sleep anxiety and do not provide long-term solution to insomnia. Let's explore why. As for sleep restriction, many people find that spending such a short amount of time in bed causes a significant amount of additional anxiety that makes them feel more broken and desperate. I've talked to many people who share my view that the CBTI approach to sleep restriction does not feel like a reasonable or sustainable solution. This is especially true if after one grueling multi-week round of sleep restriction, you are instructed to start sleep restriction all over again when your poor sleep and sleep anxiety return, which they often do. Regarding stimulus control, for many, the procedure of getting in and out of bed when they can't sleep creates more anxiety. People following stimulus control guidelines often lie in bed feeling nervous about getting up again if they don't sleep soon. To comply with the rule, they may lie in bed anxious and preoccupied, estimating how much time has passed and whether they need to get out of bed again. Although stimulus control aims to recondition the brain to associate bed with sleep, it can also inadvertently create new associations in your brain between sleep and overthinking what you must do for sleep to happen. Unless you have a calm and flexible attitude about following stimulus control guidelines, which typically does not describe your average person with insomnia, then stimulus control can lead you to believe that you need to follow rigid and unnatural rules if you want to be able to sleep. For many, this has a net negative effect of pulling you further away from a normal, low-stakes, flexible relationship to sleep and your bed.